Amen, amen, amen. I am very impressed. As much as it was raining when you all left the house, there you go. That's the Lord clapping, giving you applause right there. And you got out of bed and you braved it on a good day. The Lord really spoke to us in the first service. This presence of the Lord was really sweet, and boy, he was inspiring us. And first service, I know that they would say, give our love to the second service, because we are together on something. We really are two teams, first service, second service, headed in a direction that God would have for us. And today we are going to have an anointing service at the end of this message for our search team, our pastor search team. There are eight people who have been selected on that. We challenged your deacons to spend a couple of weeks thinking and praying about a representative that from each age brackets and from youth and from staff and deacons and finance team and praise team even. We've got them young and older, and we've got a great, great, great team. We're going to lay hands on them, believing that the Lord has one guy in mind. We are believing, church, that the Lord is going to go through the whole earth and pick the best man for the job. We believe he already got his mind on that fella. We just believe he's going to reveal it to us. We're not asking the Lord for 10 possible good ones or anybody in the top 100 or whatever that might mean. We want one, the right one. How are we going to know the right one when we hear the Lord say it? How do we know those kind of things? Well, that's a spiritual task. And we're asking these eight folks to go before the holy God of the universe, search the whole world and pick us out one. Don't know what he looks like, what color he is, what language he speaks. I mean, we don't know, but we're willing to take that one, whoever he is, if he's God's pick for us. Amen? That's the one we want, right? Yeah, thank you. Going to happen. And over the next 4 weeks, I want for us to really get ready and prepared. And I've got some thoughts and some messages in mind that I've been thinking about this for months. And we're going to start a four-week series, and this Rachel suggested this a while back, and it made perfect sense, the title for this series, and that is, We Are NBF. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about We Are NBF. We're going to ask a good question today, who are we? Who is NBF? What's this church like? Why is this church the way it is? And is it God's design? And if so, what does that look like? What is New Beginnings? What's the first service like? Second service like? What's the heart? What's the marrow? Down deep, who are we as a church? I'm willing to really consider that. And aren't you? Because here's why. I think if we prepare ourselves for something great will happen. If we are preparing ourselves as a church for the right guy, then God can bring us the right guy. Otherwise, I'm just not sure what's going to happen. I really believe that we need to set our sights on a guy that's going to lead this church to great things. I'm not excited about just good enough. Are you? That good enough is not good enough. I'm not excited about what we can do, what a man can do. I can get a little excited when I think about what God has done and what he can do. Not just for this church, this message is for us today also. I think we have a message today that's going to kick off We Are NBF. And I'd like for you to think of it this way. When I was doing youth ministry, I used to tell girls, teenage girls, I'd ask them a question and say, it's fun, I'm looking at all the boys here in the front row. And I would tell these girls, I'd say, well, what kind of husband do you want? You want a C+, a B+, an A+? What are you guys, by the way? Yeah, A, pretty much. They all agree they're A+. I used to tell the girls, I said, so if you want an A+, then make sure that you're not a C+. God is not going to give you something spectacular when you don't have your sights set very high, or if you're not desiring very high. You want a guy that's really going to be remarkable. In the eyes of God, you want that kind of guy. He's a very spiritual guy who's going to lead you in great spiritual life, right? You want a spiritual leader. You want a man that can really bring it, that you can follow him because he follows God. Isn't that what you girls probably want? That's an A+. So don't be a C+. God's not going to waste an A+ guy on a C+ girl. I believe the same is true for us. Let's get ourselves ready. And the thing that I see that I want for us to consider first is #WeAreSearchers. This is the title for today's message. We're searching for something. We're not searching for a C+, are we? We're searching for A+. We're searching for a man that God that's going to help set the place on fire. That God's going to use, and God's going to set him on fire, and then he is kindling, and that sets everything else on fire. That's how it works. I'm calling on God, and I know you're calling on God. I'm searching. I'm believing our search team, which I'm not a part of. I meet with them the first two times, just make sure they're off and running, and then they're going to do it. I'm not part of that equation. But I'm believing God's going to do something here. It was part of the vision 15 years ago. I have not seen the completion of the vision yet. Not very far off. But I think we're going to see something. We are searchers. Are y'all searchers? Do you like to search for stuff? Go rummaging through the house looking for stuff. How many of y'all like to look for a clean pair of underwear 10 minutes before church starts? Or you're hunting for that tool, fellas. You're needing that tool and you like to hunt for it. Probably not. Now, here's what I have found out. Women do like to search for stuff. They call it shopping. But it's searching. Searching. They like to search a lot more than us fellas do for bargains and for clothing and just searching for who knows what. Just go like this. What are you looking for, honey? I don't know. And my idea is that's a lot of time. In fact, someone took a picture of me this week waiting for Marcia out in front of Tanger Mall. There I am. There I am. I'd ask her, honey, how long are you going to be shopping? Not very long. Yeah, any fellas in here know what I'm talking about. So women do like to search. I did find out that guys like to search, but it's not for stuff. They like to search for ways to fix stuff, ways to do stuff. Yeah? Are we? This picture was seen in Springfield this week. How you like that? Well, can you tell what it is? It's a washing machine, and what's it sitting on? What's it rolling on? A two-wheel dolly. And it's strapped to the back of that car, and it's headed down the street. I like that. That's a man that searches out problems for a solution. Isn't that cool? Here's another picture of another dude, and he came up with a move a refrigerator. All right. So there are differences in men and women. We have us a search team that's searching. Searching for the right guy, the one guy. Why would God not just say, okay, I'll just send him to you? Or why aren't we just part of an organization just sends their pastors when they feel like it's time? Why do we go to all this trouble to weeks and months? It's a lot of times it's months. And hundreds maybe of resumes will come in. And if you know of a good preacher, pastor somewhere, you want to recommend one of these eight members of the praise team or the search team. They'll go through the process of calling the fella and say, would you be interested in praying about Hollister, Missouri? And through that whole search process, you're going to get a pastor. Why does God even do that? Why do you have to apply for a job? Someone told me a while ago they've had three interviews this week or the last couple of weeks for a job. Why didn't it just take one? Why didn't the Lord just move upon somebody? When you're looking for a job, why didn't the phone call just ring and someone says, hey, I want you to come to work for me? Why do we have to do that? Why did Jesus say, seek and you'll find? Ask and you will know. Knock and the door will be open. Why did he say, seek, ask, knock? Why that whole process? Does he not know ahead of time what's going to happen anyway? Why does that happen? And here's the answer. God loves the search. And he loves searchers. We're going to figure out why here in this message. You just hang on to that. God, get that thing off the... I'm being spiritual here. Go ahead and remove that. Thank you. God likes searchers. And we're going to look in Numbers chapter 13. I love the Old Testament. Love these old stories. They tell us how to live today. And this is a great story involving Moses and the Israelites. They're in the desert. They've been wandering. They're coming up close to the Canaan land. They left Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, through the desert, come on their way to Canaan. Let's pick it up. Chapter 13. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. The 12 is in parentheses. There you go. That's my 12. I'm skipping a bunch of verses now. It was one leader from each of the 12, and it tells who their dad was. And I'm not going to pretend that I can pronounce all those names. Can we just skip them? Okay. There's 12, including Caleb and Joshua. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Sin as far as Rehob toward Lebo Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came back to Hebron, where Amon, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. Just know that all of those places is the north, the south, the east, and the west of Israel. They traipsed through it all. It really is fantastic land. When I was over there, I heard and saw some great things about that soil. If you fertilize a little bit and you water, if you irrigate that land, they can grow four crops a year. And the grapes here, when you go to Walmart and you pull out a cluster of grapes, you know, cut off of a branch, their cluster was so big they had to put it on a pole. You get the picture. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. When we went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey, here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites and the Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live there near the sea and along the Jordan. The descendants of Anak were large, large people, the giant people. They used to roam a little bit the earth back then. Goliath was one of the descendants later on of these people. So they were big. They were powerful. It was scary. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the man who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are great size." Can you say exaggeration? The land is swallowing up people. Everybody lives there is bigger than us. "We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look like the same to them." How do they know that? Did he even talk to them? They'd have probably got killed if they weren't secret spies. But the point is, the fear had grabbed them. They were exaggerating the size of the mountain. "That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to each other, 'We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jeph, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, 'The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them.'" So these 12 men go off and spy the land. 10 of them come back with what they saw with their eyes, their own eyes. They saw big people. Not all of them were big, but they were all big to them. Now they saw that the mountain was too big. The other two guys came back, and what did they see? They saw the promise of God. They saw Canaan that God had promised for them, a land of milk and honey. And I'll explain that. That's great land. They saw the promise of God was that He was going to give them this land, and that's what they saw. Men of faith. And so I ask a question when I read this. When I was studying this, the first thing that came to my mind